smiles at the end of each of the pieces in today's recital. They've worked together for many years, and they've also played with Lauma's sister, Biber Streeter, the violinist. And hugely popular with the audience here at Wigmore Hall. Well, next week, Fiona Torkington will present a concert by Trio Wanderer, piano trios by Beethoven and Brahms. That's live next Monday lunchtime. But for today, I'll hand you on to Broadcasting House.
And that was Louise Fryer. Well, just a brief mention, our Opera on Three this evening at 6 o'clock comes live from the Metropolitan Opera in New York, and it's a performance of Rossini's Le Comte Henri. This is BBC Radio 3. It's 3 o'clock, time for World Roots with Lucy Duran.
Hello and benvindu. Today on World Roots, we're in the BBC's Maida Vale studios to discuss some of the latest world music releases on CD, including Portuguese fado singer Marisa and a new compilation of African guitar legends. My guest reviewers Monica Vasconcelos and David Hutchin will be joining me soon. That's after we hear music from today's guest, the Brazilian singer Raf Villar.
Botava fé, mas falava lé com cré. Me mostrava o céu azul, me queria todo seu. Me mostrava mais o céu, me deixava menos seu. Como cães, e que o erro é todo meu. Não me entendo, eu meu. O mau tempo que se deu, mas que agora é cinza o céu. Cantei seu nome em vão, mas que ainda sou teu cão.
That was Le Concret, played in the studio by Raf Villar from Brazil and his band, and we'll be hearing more from them later on in the programme when I'll be talking to Raf about playing Brazilian music in London. Before that, I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio two new contributors, the writer David Hutchin and the musician and broadcaster Monica Vasconcelos. So, welcome to both of you. Monica, what have you been up to recently?
I have been playing with my band, Hi. We performed at the King's Place, and we played sambas and music by Jobim, some of our collaborations with Robert Wyatt and music by Villa-Lobos, quite a beautiful project. I'm also releasing a new project which features the rhythm side of Brazilian music, the groove-based stuff, the beautiful songs, the classics from 60s and 70s. That's the Vintage Brazil project. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, I'm quite busy.
I have very happy memories of you at a WOMAD festival a couple of summers ago, ending the Sunday night with a fabulous Brazilian groove. And you, David, how about you? What have you been up to?
The Afro-Cubism has been occupying most of my time. I've been trying to interview the guys that are part of the project and are playing the Albert Hall, I think, in June. Just trying to track them down in Bamako and find out how they feel about mixing Cuba with West Africa.
You've both brought along new CD releases that we're going to be looking at, and we'll start with you, Monica, and you have the latest album by the fabulous Portuguese singer Marisa.
Exactly. This is Marisa's fifth album. And when Marisa came on the scene, she was seen as someone who was revolutionizing fado, bringing it to the 21st century, blending it with contemporary elements and jazz.
Fado and being?
Fado, the very traditional Portuguese style. It's the Portuguese music, fado. It's, I would say it's the most well-known style from Portugal. And but on this album, she actually goes the other direction. She's making traditional fado. The album is actually titled Fado Tradicional. And the track I chose, though, is the most edgy of those. And in this one, she sings. It's a very sparse arrangement with a little bit of guitar on the background, which brings the emphasis onto the lyrics. And this particular song by Amália Rodrigues is called I, Essa Pena de Mim, This Pain of Mine. And it's bitter and it's tragic and it's full of despair. The lyrics are about the things that life did not give you.
A esta angústia sem fim, a este meu coração, a esta pena de mim, ai a minha solidão, a esta pena de mim, ai a minha solidão. Ai, minha infância dorida, ai, o meu bem que não foi, ai, minha vida perdida, ai, lucidez que me dá, ai, minha vida perdida. Ai, esta grande ansiedade, ai, este não ter sossego, ai, passado sem saudade, ai, minha falta de apego, ai, passado sem saudade, ai, a minha falta de apego, ai de mim que vou vivendo em meu grande desespero, ai tudo que não entendo, ai o que entendo e não quero,
Ai, Esta Pena de Mim, sung by the great Portuguese singer Marisa, and that's from her new album Fado Tradicional, which is out on EMI. A track that really represents the essence of fado, that kind of misery and gloom, and it's such a dark genre, isn't it?
Yes, that sadness. We in Brazil talk a lot about the Portuguese sadness. I must say, I've never been a great fan of fado, but then, for instance, listening to this track, I was completely, completely taken by the words, the power of the words, and Marisa's interpretation as well. She, to me, is actually amazing. I have a lot of respect for her.
David, what do you think of this?
Well, I think it's a great album. It's another great album from somebody that, like Monica said, when she arrived, we all thought she was going to bring fado in the 21st century. Now, 10 years on, I'm still waiting for her to do it. I mean, I'm not knocking her for doing this, but it seemed that with the third album, which had a bit more Brazilian influence, and with the fourth album, which seemed to involve a little more flamenco, I thought she's going to try and take this somewhere new. Now she's gone back the way. And I'm wondering if it's... I hope somebody can step in right this minute and say, no, you're talking rubbish. But I'm wondering if it's because Fado's this grand tradition that's performed in pubs, and we get the idea that there's sort of like a committee of Fado rule makers who sit around and say, you can't dress like that and sing Fado, you can't sing those songs, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I'm wondering, can she break beyond these rules? Does she want to?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, from my perspective, just the other day I was trying to find an example of Marisa just doing traditional Fado, and actually I couldn't find one from her previous albums. And so in a way, I'm quite glad I sort of celebrate this album where she's just out and out playing Fado as you would hear it in those small bars in the Bairro Alto in Lisbon. And you can imagine her with a black shawl on, you know, which it was all very stylized in the 1950s by Amalia Rodriguez, whose voice she emulates so much. So I'm delighted with this album, but as you say, David, I wonder where Fado can go, really. It's in a way, it's a very enclosed genre. What do you think, Monica?
The way it's being sold is almost like they are saying she wants to prove with this one she can do traditional Fado. So maybe that's it. She just wants to say, okay, I want to do it simply as the way I learned it. And sometimes I do think it's just nice to enjoy and not necessarily to be asked all the time to be breaking the barriers of everything. Maybe she's just wanting to enjoy the music, the tradition of Fado.
Because one thing that's happened, I'm sure you've noticed this, David, is that there are all of these new young singers who also have albums out now, Ana Moura, for example, you know, and they are doing much more traditional Fado than Marisa has been doing until now. So maybe Marisa thinks, hang on a second, am I missing a trick?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe I need to step back and just play Fado as it is.
It's odd though. Nobody would turn round to any rock band and saying, now you've got to do your rockabilly album. You know, I'm sorry, but the next one you've got to go to the Sun Studios and work with a double bass, a guitar, not even a drummer. Sorry about that, mate. But, you know, why is it that if you think about other forms of Latin music, say flamenco, tango, bossa, samba, they all, in the last few years, have suddenly introduced this whole group of new artists who are saying, hold on a minute, it's 21st century. Let's do something different.
But Marisa has done that, to be fair. We never know what's going on in the mind of an artist. Maybe what she's saying is, OK, now I'm going to put Fado to bed, and then with the next one I'm going to do...
something else.
Something completely different.
I really hope so. I mean, I'm not criticising this album. It's a great album. She's singing fantastically. The arrangements, sparse as they are brilliant, showing off her voice... Wow.
What a voice.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? Something else that I find very interesting about this album, and I'm afraid here I've got my scholarly hat on, is that you find out that there are a lot of different kinds of Fado, and they're defined by the type of verse and the number of syllables in the verse. And then you realize that actually they do have a different sound, those different genres of Fado. And I liked that about it's done in a very unpretentious way.
Sometimes I just feel that you want to be, as a singer, sometimes I enjoy singing an old samba, an old bossa nova, and just feeling that comfort, you know.
David, the first CD that you've brought to review is also, well, we're staying in Europe. We're moving along a couple of countries to Italy.
Having just said that Maritza's too traditional, I've decided to go with a sea shanty that sounds 16th century. It's Vinicio Capossela, who is relatively, if not almost completely unknown in Britain. He is arguably Italy's biggest alternative star. This is from his eighth album, which is all inspired by the sea. It's just called Sailors, prophets and whales. And the track I thought we'd go with is L'Oceana Oh La La, which in English it just means ocean. Ooh la la!
Che tipo scontroso, giocoso, scherzoso, che tipo, che cosa, l'oceano e la la. Il tifone allegro, il baleno è un buffone, quando sbatte orgoglioso il codone, la nuvola scappa, la schiuma si leva, quando soffia l'arcobaleno. Che tipo scherzoso, giocoso, scontroso, che tipo, che cosa, l'oceano e la la. Scontroso, giocoso, scherzoso, che tipo, che cosa, l'oceano e la la. La nave la spacca col tuono, che tipo, che cosa, l'oceano che è. Per lui è soltanto uno sbuffo, si scrolla il cielo di dosso in un tuffo. Scontroso, giocoso, scherzoso, che tipo, che cosa, l'oceano e la la. La nave che sbatte, il cicchetto che fuma, quando Vanese si incipria di schiuma, per lui è soltanto un balocco, la burrasca che gonfia nel fiocco. Che tipo scontroso, giocoso, scherzoso, che tipo, che cosa, l'oceano e la la. Che tipo scontroso, giocoso, scherzoso, che tipo, che cosa, l'oceano che è. Che tipo scontroso, giocoso, scherzoso, che tipo, l'oceano che è. Rulla come oleosa, grassa e soffusa, piena di barili d'olio, solo un mammifero senza piedi. La più bella l'ho vista nuotare sulla crosta d'oceano polare. A ramoniere una macchina lena, quando colpisca la balena. Della tempesta non si importa, tanto sa sempre nuotare. È un gigante di forza, è la regina del mare. Aspetta quel tuono, a che ci serve il tuono, come non vogliamo dei tuoni, noi vogliamo del rum, 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 fate un bicchiere di rum, 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 noi vogliamo del rum.
The Italian artist Vinicio Capossela with his track L'Oceano Oi La La, and that's from his album Marinai, Profeti e Balene, Sailors, Prophets and Whales. And that is on La Cupa Warner's label, and it's released at the end of April in Italy, only in Italy. Is that right, David?
Afraid so, but until somebody out in the rest of the world decides that... The fact that he's won the Italian Album of the Year, I think, four times, and he's number one every time he releases an album, maybe it's worth taking a gamble on him.
But tell us more about this album. It's a sort of star-studded cast of musicians.
Well, he's at a stage now. I mean, this is his eighth album. It started off with him taking a piano to the island of Ischia in the Bay of Naples and just sitting in a castle with seagulls and the wind blowing around him, and playing these songs on piano. And then he took, and it's come out, it's a double album. The first side of it, I guess, is the Anglo-Saxon ocean-going tradition with songs called things like Billy Budd and Lord Jim. But the second side is his Mediterranean side, Homeric, based on the Odyssey, where he went off to Crete and worked with Saragonis on playing this lyre. On the first side, he got in the choir from La Scala.
What we just heard.
That was the choir from La Scala. It was arranged. It's the first time he's worked with an orchestra and a classical arranger. Also, one of the tracks has Le Sorel Marinetti, who do those, it's a trio who do those really high 1930s close harmonies. They happen to be a drag act, but you don't figure that out from the record. So he's kind of crazy.
Monica?
I think crazy is a good word. Incredibly musical, incredibly creative. I do think, though, that I don't speak any Italian. I have a feeling that he creates these beautiful soundscapes and he gets in so much like real music in there, real musicians and singers, everything. But I don't get what he's talking about. So the soundscapes to his stories. But then I don't understand, so it's a bit harder for me, you see.
Because he's really a storyteller more than anything else.
Well, that's my feeling when I, yes, yeah.
But, I mean, it is interesting how Italian artists, I mean, with the possible exception of Paolo Conte, I mean, they don't really seem to cross out of Italy. It seems like the Italian music market is very enclosed and inward-looking, and I wonder whether that is just something to do with the language, you know. I mean, who else speaks Italian other than the Italians? Whereas the Portuguese language market is much bigger. You have all of Brazil, you've got Portugal, you've got, you know, the Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa.
It's interesting you say that because, for instance, Brazilian music, the biggest ever success or hits we had were the bossa novas, which had English lyrics. So that helps to transpose the music outside. I also think that some music styles, if they are very, very harmonically rich and melodic, they can also
transcend.
Yes, they can.
But David, what is it about Vinicio Capossela that attracts you?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Paolo Conte, because when Vinicio started his career, he was working with Paolo's producer and Paolo's musicians, and he was marketed as the new Paolo Conte. And after doing about three albums where he'd sort of done this Paolo Conte, Tom Waits type thing, he thought, I don't want to be the new anybody, I want to be me. And what he did was he started looking into traditional songs and he came up with something contemporary. If you go back to the album released in 2006, Ovunque Protegi, this was where he suddenly adopted the personalities of the Minotaur, the Gladiator, the Legionnaire. And suddenly he went from being a moderate-sized cult to being the number one artist in the country, because the whole of Italy, this strange little insular place that doesn't seem to affect the rest of the world culturally, apart from opera and all these millions of things that they've
yes,
done over the
exactly.
centuries. But suddenly the whole of his nation took an interest in what he was doing.
Monica, you've brought along a recent release by a fellow Brazilian singer. But
yeah.
Actually there was a bit of, you had a bit of a tussle about who to choose, which album
yes.
to choose.
Basically, I was between Tulipa Ruiz, a singer from Minas Gerais, who is an innovator. She is breaking the rules. She's blending rock with jazz and contemporary elements. She's almost experimental. And so she represents the new. But I actually chose Mariana Aidar, a singer from São Paulo, who is not trying to make a revolution. She sounds contemporary. She's seen as one of the new MPB artists, new Brazilian popular music scene. And she seems to enjoy making beautiful music, and her sound is current, but it's not anything groundbreaking. I chose a samba, the first track to her album. The album is called Pássaros, Peixes e Pessoas. That's birds, fish and people. And this track is called Florindo, Blossoming.
Você chora tanto e sofre sem ter motivo. Vai, deixa todo esse rancor pra trás, que a vida vem sorrindo pra nós dois. Que bom ver você florindo, desperta, cheia de luz e de verdade. Deixa fugir do seu peito essas marcas de um passado que só vão te magoar. Por que você chora tanto e sofre sem ter motivo? Vai, deixa todo esse rancor pra trás, que a vida vem sorrindo pra nós dois. Que bom ver você sorrindo, desperta, cheia de luz e de verdade. Deixa fugir do seu peito essas marcas de um passado que só vão te magoar. Paixão, quem quer viver bem no presente, nos braços do sossego. Enquanto uns dizem que o tempo não para, outros dizem que o tempo não passa de ilusão. Ilusão, deixe estar que a vida é mais sábia, cada coisa tem seu tempo. E esses pensamentos não passam de nuvem rasa, e todo esse sofrimento não pertence à sua casa. Cesso esse tormento, enxugo todo o seu pranto com a força e com o sentimento que carrego no meu canto. Por que você chora tanto e sofre sem ter motivo? Rancor pra trás, que a vida vem sorrindo pra nós dois. Que bom ver você sorrindo, desperta, cheia de luz e de verdade. Deixa fugir do seu peito essas marcas de um passado que só vão te magoar. Paixão, quem quer viver bem no presente encontra o seu lugar nos braços.
Peixes, pássaros and pessoas. Fish, birds and people. That's out on Universal and it is accessible, even though it's not actually out in this country. Is that right, Monica?
Yes, exactly. And I chose Mariana. I think that she's at her best singing sambas, like the one we've just heard. I think this song, even though it's written, it's a contemporary song, it's written now, it would sit really comfortably next to any great samba from the 70s or, you know, 60s in Brazil. The arrangement is really accomplished. It's lovely. You get all those flutes and the percussion, which comes from the chorinho tradition of Rio de Janeiro. I just think it's a classic. It's a contemporary classic.
But in a way, it's too comfortable for me, this album. When, as I was listening to it, I was waiting for something to jump out at me, not necessarily for something groundbreaking, but for something distinctive. And pretty though it is, and accomplished though it is, the only track that really jumped out at me was number 9, which is called Nada Disso É Pra Você, which has a sort of darker side. And I wonder whether samba is a bit like, it kind of goes back to our discussion about fado, David, you know, where samba also has its very specific framework.
It does, but I'm going to have to disagree with you here, because with that first track, I thought, okay, it's a samba album, it's a Brazilian album. I know what it's going to be like. Can I take my feeling? Is that mood going to last for 45 minutes? But no, she changes things up. She does a little bit of salsa. There's a bit of rock in there. You never actually know what's coming next. And I'll agree, it's not groundbreaking, but I much prefer the idea that here's somebody who proves on track one that she knows how to do the traditional stuff and then says, but, you know, this is me.
It seems to me, Monica, if one looks at the Brazilian music scene from outside, that MPB, you know, that Música Popular Brasileira, is quite conservative, really. It plays very safe.
It's interesting. I think that I noticed this myself. The Brazilian audiences, they love the classics. And so if you listen to Brazilian radio stations, they play a lot of stuff from 70s, 80s, 60s, still today. And many of the musicians who are doing well and selling, they do new versions of classics. So that's a trend. I also would say that as is the case in all over the world, the industry is bankrupt. And so they have to play safe.
Kind of commercial constraints.
Yes, there is that.
But Brazil has an enormous market. And I mean, it's a huge country the size of the USA and, you know, with an enormous population who adore their music.
It's true. But the people who really are making lots of money in Brazil are the people who do the music, the entertainment side of music, focus on that side. So you do the axé from Bahia, and those artists from Bahia, they command like millions audiences. They sell a lot. And that's really music for fun, isn't it? But music for listening which is a little bit more complex, is harder. All over the world is harder. Another thing about Mariana, she comes from a family of musicians as well. Her father, Mario Manga, used to play in this band Premeditando Breck from São Paulo. They were quite humorous, quite edgy, actually. So you see nowadays that anyone who is doing anything in Brazilian music comes from a family of musicians, so that I suppose the record companies find it easier to sell this person because they already come with a bit of baggage, and so there is something to tell to make them stand out. So that's the case with Maria Rita, and it's the case with quite a few people.
Talking of classics, David, you've brought along a CD which is a new compilation from the people at World Music Network, and it's called The Rough Guide to African Guitar Legends.
Indeed, and I thought if people at home want to get one album that sums up 50 years of great music from one continent, this is probably the album for you. And I chose the High Life classic from Eric Agyeman, Nea Abe Beto.
Yeah. some summit. Mamma, me cry. It's a me and me fearful. Mamma, you may do I. Piana that you may. If it's a baby and it does union, baby and it does union. I want them work free. It is so soon, brother. Soon, brother. I have some perdua. Yeah, yeah, baby.
Well, that was one of the tracks from the Rough Guide to African Guitar Legends. It was the Ghanaian musician Eric Adjaman with the track Nea Abe Beto, and that was from his 1978 album High Life Safari, the sound of guitar high life, which virtually barely exists anymore. So wonderful to hear it on this compilation. But David, as we were listening to it, you were kind of wincing about the concept of the album.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of the guitar legend. I don't like the idea of the axe hero. I think what it does is we concentrate on the virtuosity of one individual. We fetishize it, and instead we should be listening to the track. It's a good album. It's got a dozen great songs on it, and then there's a bonus track with Cinnamon Benzo, which, you know, fantastic. But it's got people like Jelly Madi Tunkara. He's a great guitarist. It's got Ali Farkaturi. And you're thinking, well, isn't the great thing about Ali that he only just plays exactly what he doesn't do these Jimmy Page solos. He's no Hendrix. You know, it's got Tanari Wen on it. And I'm sure it's trying to say, you know, Ibrahim, the leader of the band, is a guitar legend. Well, there's probably three guitarists all playing tiny little bits of rhythm on this song. So it's the song.
Monica, you, on the other hand, really liked the concept of the album.
Yes, I do, because even though it's a song, you must accept that people, when they listen to music, they always listen to the vocals. And I know that, you know, being a singer. But the fact is that there is this beautiful guitar work on the background. And if you call the album that, it's a way of actually making people listen to the guitar. And it's beautiful. All the guitar work on it is beautiful. So it just kind of takes your attention into that and makes you listen to other things that are happening. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's actually a good way.
Well, I'm going to have to say, I don't speak any other languages very well. So when you say you're listening to the vocalist, I'm listening to somebody singing, but that's just another instrument. I'm not listening to the words. So it's just another sound, and that adds to the whole thing. You know, you can have the best words, but you're not going to win unless you've got a great melody.
Yes, but the voice has this thing that it attracts you. I think, I don't know why, we could discuss for hours why is it that we tend to listen to the voice. The voice has the melody, so the main tune, and you kind of go to it. I mean, this is what most people do.
I just point out that a lot of the musicians on this album, of the African musicians on this album, are actually singers and guitarists, like Ali Farkaturi, like Oliver Mutkudzi from Zimbabwe, like Franco, who also has a track on this album. And so the other thing I think is that it's really important to remember that the guitar has played a especially important role in the history and development of African popular music over the past 50 years. And I think this album flags that up.
I would say that my favourite axe hero coming out of Africa at the moment is Buseko Kuyati, who doesn't play a guitar. But that's because he surrounds himself with an incredibly hot rhythm section, a fantastic singer, and then plays brilliant, fast. He plays rock and roll. And yet, to me, it's the whole thing that he does and his band does that makes him so great.
But there are lots of albums that will focus on the song. So it's just nice for a change to have an album focusing on the guitar. We could do the same with the brass section. We could do the African brass sections. And so, you know, you listen to it and you kind of naturally go, and okay, let me check this out, you know, and stop the dictatorship of the of the vocals.
And then next thing you know, we've got the African drum legends. And we have 12 tracks that are solos, and you just think, I think we've blown it a little bit here, sure.
But these tracks are not solos.
That's the point. No. That's why I think it's clever. You see, it's not solos.
If you're going to sit and concentrate on the guitar, you're missing out on the brilliance of the whole song.
No, but you never listen to just the guitar. You listen to everything.
That's
but you're kind
guitar
of
legend.
I know, but you listen to the whole thing and you enjoy. By the way, can I just say that you chose a track that focuses on the groove, the high life, and it's gorgeous. But I quite like the very, very slow, heartfelt and poignant things as well. Tuku, for instance, from Zimbabwe. And, the Chinari Wen, I thought it was really gorgeous, and it's a little bit more laid back. So,
well, the best thing to do is to listen to the album and make up your own minds. So you can find full details of all the music we've played on World Roots on the website. That's at bbc.co.uk/radio3/world music. And a big thanks to both of you, David Hutchin and Monica Vasconcellos, for joining us on the programme. You're listening to World Roots with me, Lucy Duran, on BBC Radio 3. Well, now we have more music from the Brazilian singer, guitarist and songwriter Raf Vilar, performing in the World Roots studios with three musicians. Raf grew up in Rio de Janeiro and he's now based in London. And the piece that they're going to play is on his album, and it is Bossami.
Dança o corpo, dança o mar, dança o vento. O universo inteiro dança neste momento. Dança o corpo, dança o mar, dança o vento. O mundo inteiro agora está em movimento. Bossa-me. Meus olhos no teu corpo em movimento, bossa-me. Meus olhos no teu corpo em movimento, bossa-me. Meus olhos no teu corpo em movimento, bossa-me. Os meus olhos em teu corpo, o teu corpo em movimento, eu não preciso de mais ninguém. O meu corpo em volta da alma, o teu corpo em torno ao meu, sem você eu não me sinto bem. Teu corpo em movimento, passa-me. Meus olhos no teu corpo em movimento, passa-me. Meus olhos no teu corpo em movimento, passa-me. O teu corpo em movimento, não preciso de mais ninguém. O meu corpo em volta da alma, o teu corpo em torno ao meu, sem você eu não me sinto bem. Bossa-me. Meus olhos no teu corpo em movimento, bossa-me. Meus olhos no teu corpo em movimento, bossa-me. Movimento, bossa-me.
Bossamy, which was composed by the singer and guitarist that we've just heard playing here in the World Roots Studios, Haf Villar, with the musicians Esben Chalbe on piano, Andrea Di Biase, who plays double bass, and Ursula Tuca Milan on percussion. So, Haf, welcome to World Roots. Your album is called Studies in Bossa, and that track that we just heard, Bossamy, you also play on your album, and you composed it.
Yeah, composed one of was my very first song when I was 14 years old.
So what's the attraction of bossa for you, Haf?
I think the sound between jazz and samba. I'm from Rio, I love samba, and I love jazz. It's not a typical thing in Rio, but I always love jazz. And that's the thing, just because it's between, and I love it.
Because you also come from a sort of a well-known musical family in Rio, don't you? Azimuth is one of the musicians from the Brazilian group Azimuth.
Yeah, I grew up listening to Azimuth, and I was going to the gigs around and with my friends, with my cousins, with everyone.
It's the was it the percussionist in Azimuth who was your uncle?
Yeah, Ivan Contimama.
The album that you've just had released, which is called Studies in Bossa on the UK label Far Out, is your debut album. You're a young musician, and it's been entirely recorded in London, is that right?
Yes. And in
where
the basement.
You're now living.
Yeah, I was in the basement, my friend's studio, and we decided to record it. I met him like randomly.
And so, who is he?
August Jacobson.
August Jacobson is not someone who has worked in Brazilian music before as a producer.
He's
more for like electronica.
Probably I was the only Brazilian thing he have met.
So how was it working with someone who had obviously a completely kind of outsider's perspective on bossa nova?
I was great for the new ideas. Something I couldn't imagine would be nice with the electronic bit, but was really nice. Like one song was very sad, very quiet one. Then we decide to put some electronic thing on the back, and sounds just great. And just because of there's new ideas, something I don't really know much about electronic music, and he doesn't know about bossa. Then we just mix what we know.
So. But bossa has always been a very experimental type of music.
Because it's too new. It's not 60 years old, and it's still new for everyone, and people still try new things with bossa.
But it's always had kind of jazz connections. I mean, back in the early days, Stan Getz. And
some people say it's totally jazz. I'd say it's totally samba. Just between samba, jazz with a touch of blues. Maybe because of the some singers like Elza Soares, some people started recording in the 70s, 60s, and they used to sing a bit more like a blues and got a bit touch. But even now, like, everyone would record it, bossa nova, put something new in it. And I think that we're still discovering the bossa nova bit.
Earlier on, I was talking to the Brazilian singer who also lives in London, Monica Vasconcelos, and she was talking about the importance of the classics for Brazilian audiences. They love their classics. They love their great songs that were written in the 60s and 70s. And people still play those songs on the radio all the time. And I know that you have a song by Tom Jobim and Vinicius Moraes.
Insensate. Yeah, it was one of the first famous bossa nova as well, when they went to America. And Tom Jobim composed this song, and Ella Fitzgerald recorded, Frank Sinatra recorded.
And you've told me that just before we hear you play it here in the studio.
I was checking the internet about this song. I never realized this, but it's a Chopin copy. Like, they copied from him, and when Tom Jobim showed this song.
Wait, they copied from?
Chopin.
Which one?
Prelude 4.
Prelude number 4.
Yeah, and when he released this song in America, and everyone started making joke about bossa nova, now they copy, like, from Chopin, even from Chopin, they copy the song. And because no one knew what bossa nova was, a very new thing. No one knew. So they decided to find something to say, no, bossa nova is not bossa. Bossa nova is jazz. Bossa nova is Chopin. So it's like this. And I really checked this song that Chopin Prelude 4, and actually was very similar.
So let's hear the song Insensatez, played by Haf Villar here in the World Roots Studios, especially for World Roots.
insensatez. O que você fez, coração, mas sem cuidado? Fez chorar de dor o seu amor, um amor tão delicado. Porque você foi fraco assim, assim tão desalmado. Ah, meu coração, quem nunca amou não merece ser. Coração, ouve a razão, usa só sinceridade. Quem semeia vento, diz a razão, colhe sempre tempestade. Vai, meu coração. Pede perdão, perdão apaixonado. Vai, porque quem não pede perdão não é nunca perdoado.
A version of that wonderful and very well-known bossa nova song from the 1950s, Insensatez, originally composed by Tom Jobim, but played here, especially for us, by Raf Vilar, a young Brazilian musician who's now living in London. But why are you living in London, Raf? How can you possibly have left the beautiful Rio de Janeiro with its wonderful skies and fabulous geography for grey London?
I spent my whole life in the 40 degrees weather, so I'm pretty happy with the cold weather in London. I always wanted to leave Brazil for a while to learn English. I couldn't speak anything in English. Even my name is Rafael, I couldn't say anything. Then I finished my university, I took my degree and I left Brazil, and I decided to stay a bit more. I love London.
So what is it about London musically that you like? Because it does seem that there's a sort of connection between Brazilian musicians and London, going back to, let us say, Caetano Veloso and Gilberto Gil, and even one of your contemporaries, Cibele, now lives in London.
I think it's because London is the centre of, for many musicians, they leave the country, they come to London, and we learn a lot in London. We meet many people from everywhere. Like the band today is Danish, Italian and Brazilian. And it's quite fun. We never could have met this in Brazil.
And they all live here in London.
And they all live in London. And it's always like this. One of the other guys played Mahom. He's from India as well. And this is a good thing. You meet people from many places in the world.
It's
and you
very
can go
diverse,
from
every
special for a musician. You can go anywhere in the world from London. From Brazil, it's very hard to leave Rio and go somewhere. But from London, you can go easily to ever, even back to Rio.
So you'd say that London is far more cosmopolitan than Rio?
I think people from Rio, they don't really want to leave Rio.
I don't blame them. It's so beautiful.
I understand, but once you leave Rio, you don't want to go back that much. I love Rio. I'm always going to Rio, and I really miss. But once you leave Rio, you want to discover a new place, new people. That's the good thing. I think people from Rio, they just want to stay in Rio. They live in Rio. They work in Rio. They get married in Rio, and they die in Rio.
Well, let's hear one more piece of music from you, Raf. What will you play for us?
I'm going to play Sentir Você, one of the songs I wrote when I was a teenager as well. I tried to make something like more jazzy when I wrote this song because it's a very deep voice. So I say Sentir Você. And it's a very jazzy thing. I really enjoy to sing this song.
Actually, you say a very deep voice, but you have an incredibly high voice.
I used to be this kind of little boy to go to the church. And sing with the high. I sang to the Pope when I was younger. I used to go to church every Sunday and I said, Alleluia, Alleluia. I used to sing like this little voice.
I can hear it now, yes. Well, thank you very much, Haf Vilar, for joining us here on World Roots. Thanks also to your musicians, Espen Chalve, Andrea Di Biase and Ursula Tuca Milan. Just a reminder that your debut album, Studies in Bossa, is out now on Far Out. And now we end with a version of your song, Sem Ter Você.
Não dá mais pra fingir que não errei. Não posso mais pensar que não fui eu. Eu não consigo mais pensar no amor que eu te dei. Não dá pra te afastar de mim. Não posso esquecer do que falei. Nem posso mais lembrar do que passei. Nem sei mais te dizer se o meu céu é azul. Não posso mais viver sem ter você, sem ter você. Confesso que chorei com teu perdão. Não pude imaginar que um gesto seu pudesse me deixar tão triste assim. Não posso mais cantar outra canção. Devolva o calor das minhas mãos. Não tente entender se eu menti. Não posso mais viver sem ter você, sem ter você, sem ter você, sem ter.
Sem Ter Você, performed by Haf Vilar, ending this week's World Roots, which was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by Sam Hickling. Next week, there's another chance to hear Lucy Duran's visit to the 2009 Gnawa and World Music Festival on Morocco's Atlantic coast. This weekend, our Radio 3 Sunday feature visits the USA. Adam Smith goes to Springfield, Illinois, to investigate a war that drove the country apart.
150 years ago, the American Civil War broke out. It was to cost more than 500,000 lives. But for many Americans, this fratricidal conflict is now remembered not just as tragedy, but also as a source of inspiration. Here in Springfield, Illinois, I'll be asking why so many young men were willing to leave this northern city to fight for the Union. Why Barack Obama launched his campaign here in Lincoln's hometown in 2007, and what the Civil War continues to mean in American politics today. But I'll begin by going south to ask why white Southerners were willing to die to break up the United States. That's this week's Radio 3 Sunday feature, starting at 9:30.
And that, of course, is tomorrow. Well, looking ahead to this evening, we're going to go live to the Metropolitan Opera in New York at 6:00 for a performance of Rossini's Le Comte Henri. And in an hour's time, Geoffrey Smith will be here with Jazz Record Requests. But now at 4:00, it's time for Jazz Library with Alan Shipton.
Welcome to this very special edition of Jazz Library from the Gateshead International Jazz Festival at the Sage. And can you put your hands together to give a warm welcome to our special guest, Mike Stern.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, Mike, later on we'll come to some of the musicians that you're going to be working with here at the Sage. But let's start way back, quite early on in your career, in the days when you were working with Miles Davis. How did you get to join Miles in the first place?
Well, there was a kind of a shock to me, I mean, in a good way. But I was playing some little gigs and little places. I always like to find little places to play. And there was a lot more of them, actually, 20 years ago or so. In Boston, there was a couple places, a place called Michael's I used to play at, near Berklee College of Music, where I went. A lot of kids from Berklee would play there. And I'd already actually played with Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And I was living in Boston, just playing a lot of bebop gigs with a guy named Jerry Braganzi and different people like that. And Tiger Koshy, a great trumpet player. They're still there. Incredible players. A lot of great music in Boston. And Bill Evans was coming up from New York. Bill Evans, the saxophone player. And I just heard about him. He said, I heard you got this little gig at Michael's. Let's just do a couple of hits there. So we played a little tiny place. And he said, you know, I'm playing with Miles Davis. And I said, yeah, right. You know, I didn't believe him. I said, well, maybe it's true, but I wasn't sure. And he said that Miles wasn't getting along with a guitar player who I knew was a great guitar player that was playing with him. But they weren't personally getting along. So he said if there was a change, he was going to recommend me. And so about a year later, actually, I was playing with Billy Cobham at the Bottom Line in New York. Billy, we would go out for little tours here and there. And Bill Evans brought Miles. He called me up at the break and he said, guess who I'm bringing down? So play your ass off. So I did my best. And Miles liked it, really liked it. So he asked me to come over the next day and we hung out a little bit and then we recorded some.
Well, what we're actually going to hear is part of a live recording. It's done in Tokyo, and it's one of two versions of the tune Jean-Pierre on the album We Want Miles. And I guess this is a chance of you showing your blues credentials as much as anything else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm a guitar player. I got a part of my job is to play the blues and to rock. And I love it, you know.
So we'll hear Miles's riff in and then part of your solo.
Okay. Thank you.
That's just part of Jean-Pierre from the album We Want Miles on Columbia, still available from them, and the band including amongst the lineup, Miles, of course, on trumpet, but really working very well with you there, Marcus Miller on bass.
Yeah, Marcus is something else.
And, of course, Al Foster, who you'd worked with quite a bit after that.
Yeah, and Al Foster is something else. I did a record, actually, one of my records is called Standards, where we just played a bunch of jazz standards. But Al Foster is more of a bebopper than anything. And that's what was so unusual about Miles and so special about him. He didn't care. I mean, if someone was known for more funk or more whatever, but if he could kind of hear it, he wouldn't care about a typical kind of a stereotype at all. So actually Al Foster and Marcus Miller worked together amazingly well. You know, it was a great hookup. And they didn't even think, I think they weren't sure if they were going to work together that well. And Miles could hear it, you know, so.
Now, it's not long after you left Miles that you signed with Atlantic and began what's been a really long recording association with them until relatively recently.
Yeah.
And perhaps we can talk about that. We're going to go to the album called Time in Place, and that has quite a lot of people with whom you had long associations, and perhaps we can pick out two of them. First of all, Jim Beard, because he's playing keyboards, but actually he's really worked with you as a colleague on so many of your recordings.
Yeah, he's produced a lot, helped me just get things together with records. If it were up to me, I'd probably still be working on the first one, you know. It's that kind of thing.
I was going to ask you, is he somebody who really sort of cuts and pastes and gets things together?
Yeah, he says, that's cool, that's it, you're out of here, you know what I mean, that kind of thing. And also, he's very musical. Jim Beard is kind of a brilliant guy, and really well-trained classical pianist as well as a jazz pianist. I mean, and he can play synthesizer, all that stuff too, you know.
Well, we're going to hear some examples of that here and later in the program as well, with some of the other collaborations. But the two other people that appear on this, and this is one of these, the piece I've chosen is called Gossip, which is, I always think of it rather like breakdancing in sound. I mean, it's the two saxophonists, Bob Berg and Michael Brecker, with both of whom you had long playing associations.
Yes, yeah. Both those guys were just such great friends of mine, too. And both of them have passed. But Bob died in a car accident about 4 or 5 years ago now, and Michael Brecker a couple of years ago. But they left so much. He died from a disease, and they left so much great music behind and so many memories, you know. So they're
well,
they
I chose
really
this track.
Special.
I chose this track because I think this really shows the way that the three of you work together.
Yeah, great. Some of these things I haven't heard for years. It's cool.
It's a great vibe on that.
That was fun.
That track is Gossip from the album Time in Place from Atlantic, still around from them. And the personnel, Mike on guitar, with Bob Berg and Michael Brecker on tenors, Jim Beard on keyboards, and some great examples of him playing there, Jeff Andrews bass, and the wonderful percussion team of Peter Erskine on the drum kit, and Don Elias on that wonderful array of things that he used to play.
Oh boy, yeah. He was something else.
You've always, it seems to me, Mike, loved to explore different ranges of sound that the guitar, I mean, from one album to the next, quite often you're looking at a different sort of sonic palette for the guitar. And I think that's a good example of you in different territory from the Miles.
Yeah. Album. I mean, well, I think sometimes the guitar, it's got its incredible advantages and sometimes some serious disadvantages, just because you can play the same pitch. You know, on a piano, you have a one middle C. And that's all you got to deal with. On guitar, you have five of them. You know, you have to figure out. So you can play the same line, but you need different fingerings, or you can use different fingerings. So sometimes it's, well, which way should I play this exact same notes, you know, but the same pitches, but it's different fingerings. It's kind of a maze. So it's got logistical problems. And one thing that I love to do is check out horn players and try to play what horn players play on the guitar. I'm into that, and kind of having a singing sound, but a horn-like kind of a sound, and try to get some of those phrases. And it's a challenge sometimes.
Absolutely.
But also, I should say, the guitar lends itself, I think, in general, to you being able to relate, especially nowadays and for the last few decades, you can relate to guitar. Most guitar players can relate to a lot of different music right away because there's guitar in so much kind of music. There's certainly in pop and rock, in jazz, in classical, and in country music and in blues. So a lot of guitar players are kind of wide open to trying different stuff, and I'm kind of in that world also. So I like to, there's a lot of stuff that I like to try to do on the instrument and then write around it and try to write tunes like that or stuff that kind of, as a composer, I guess I would reach for other stuff that otherwise maybe I wouldn't as much, you know. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but this seems like I got a kind of a wide palette of different styles that I like to check out, you know.
Interesting what you were saying about thinking about the relationship with horn playing.